Obviously, we saw earlier today that the schedule for the 2020 BDO World Championship was released, but one man who unfortunately just missed out on being there was Surrey's Aaron Turner. How are you, Aaron?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well, thank you.
Obviously, as I say, you did narrowly just miss out on the Worlds. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, I'm obviously disappointed, but, the criteria was set. Unfortunately, via the points, I didn't make it. I was in the standby position, and fair play to Mr. John O'Shea. He'd done the business and, took me out of that standby position, took my place. Done what was asked of him, which was fantastic. And no qualms on my part.
I mean, obviously, knowing that your place was in jeopardy, how did you feel going into the World Masters?
Yeah, it wasn't the best preparation for myself. We booked a holiday before the dates were out. We went to the Cyprus Open, and we decided to extend it by a day. And, of course, when we flew back, of course, that was the day of the Masters. So I had a rush round from Heathrow at 9 o'clock in the morning to Grays in Essex for 12 o'clock or whatever time the registration was, which wasn't ideal, because obviously we were flying through the night. It weren't ideal, but... that's the way it was.
I mean, you went into the last day and six of the eight quarterfinalists were unseeded, and all you could do was sort of sit back and watch. I mean, were you hoping that someone like Scott Waite would come through and win the title?
Well, of course, I'm not going to lie. Of course, I was rooting for Scott in the final. There was no two ways about it. From a very greedy and selfish point of view, I wanted Scott to win, but... that's no disrespect to John. I mean, Christ, personally, I thought it was a great final and a deserved winner. And again, like I say, I've got no qualms on, it's John, obviously, but he deserved to win. And I would have liked to see Scott to win, of course, from a selfish point of view, yes.
After that disappointment, how did you pick yourself up for the last chance qualifier the next day?
To be honest, my heart wasn't in it. I had no. I just didn't have the oomph, really. I went there and I won my first game. Played a gentleman from Scotland, and he was fantastic. And I scraped a win. But my second round, I wasn't good enough. On the day, the person beat me, and I was disappointed, but. The playoffs are always going to be a lottery. It's more to do with a world ranking, really. If I'd won probably one more game somewhere else along the lines, then I would have been that one place higher up the table, and I would have been automatically qualified. That's more that I'm disappointed with than the playoffs, etc. The playoffs are all on the day and a lottery, like most of it.
Talk about your head not being in it. I know you tweeted something sort of around the time of the Belgian events in August about you weren't totally feeling it. I mean, BDO Tour is very tiring, and you and Laura both play an awful lot of it. How taxing is it on you sort of physically and mentally, that weekly grind of event, work, event,
yeah,
and so on?
The BDO, it is knackering. I mean, there's no two ways about it. You're travelling, every weekend, really. I mean, it's quite nice to consider the back end of the season, because there are quite a lot of the tournaments in England, like Sales League and the British Open, etc. But, the rest of the time, for this weekend, for example, we're travelling to Prague, it's only, we're on the amateur side of darts, we all work during the week, and it is quite tiring, I guess we only do it as a hobby, because there's no real money to be made unless you make the World Championships. It is knackering, isn't it? I mean, we've got a young family. I run my own, myself and Laura both run our own little businesses. So it's knackering. It is knackering.
I know, obviously, it ended in disappointment with just missing out on the Worlds, but how would you rate your season overall?
Yeah, I was quite happy with it. Sounds wrong, really, seeing you miss out on the World Championship, and that should be your aim, but I started off fairly positive, and Yeah, I had a bit of a lull towards the back end, and that cost me really. But no, I was reasonably happy with it. You know, I made a couple of semi-finals, a couple of quarter-finals. It was just a decision to do it last year after, you know, I tagged along with Laura the year before. You know, I've played darts for forever and ever, what it seems like, but just to give it a little go last year, you know, a little go at it. So no, I was happy. I was happy in my own little world, I guess. But just gutted to miss out now at the death.
You mentioned those quarterfinals, semi-finals. What would you sort of identify as the highlights of the season for you in terms of tournaments or performances?
I don't know. I mean, I know that the season before when I first sort of started tagging along with Laura again and doing it, you know, beating the people like Glenn Durant. You know, I beat him twice, and you know, obviously he was a 2-time world champion at the time. I know he's 3-time world now, but you know, just beating someone like him. Glenn is such a fantastic person, you know. Like, we're all disappointed in defeat afterwards, but he would still have the time to give you a nice compliment and, you know, well played, get on and get it done, you know, that kind of thing. And it gives you a bit of that boost, well, oh, maybe I could do a little bit of something at this. So things like that, you know, beating the higher ranked players was always the I don't know what the word is, you know, it's always something you enjoy, I guess.
You said just now that you feel like you've been playing darts forever and ever. I mean, you won the Youth World Masters back in 1997. I mean, how did you feel at the time when you won the title?
Yeah, I mean, it was a different, totally different world then. I mean, it was during the darts kind of split. So I was kind of, didn't get to know any of the top name players, because at the time you weren't even allowed to even talk to them. I remember being asked to play in an exhibition against Keith Deller, who was doing an exhibition in Guildford, just down the road from us. And I basically got told, if you play, you can't play County Super League. And at the time I was playing for England Youth, so that would have affected that. So it was just like, oh Jesus, you know, we're in a... It was a nightmare. You know, the people that I grew up watching on the telly were just alien to me. You know, I never really got to know Eric Bristow and all that when I was the World Youth Champion, so to speak. Whereas nowadays, if you're the World Youth Champion, especially in the PDC, you get access to everything, you know. But years what it was at the time, and it was the biggest honour in youth darts, so I'm very proud to have won it, that's for sure.
I mean, it's such a totally different time from now and then. I mean, how much do you kind of... I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of changes, but what have you noticed has been the biggest change in the sport of darts overall in those sort of 22 years?
Christ, I mean, obviously, it's endless. It's just massive to see how, the PDC has become such a monster and a fantastic money machine. You know, it is a machine. It just rolls on, and it's fantastic. You know what Barry Hearn has done for that side of darts. It is incredible. You know, I think the BDO has stagnated. You know, I've played county. Well, I played county youth when I was 12, so that's 28 years ago. And I've played county seniors since I was 14, and nothing's changed. You know, nothing will change, I don't think. The whole, towards the BDO, the whole thing needs a massive shake-up. But I think people are just happy just for it to tick along and tick along and tick along, and I can't see it ever changing.
I mean, we've seen this week the BDO representatives over in the Grand Slam, and results haven't really gone their way, which has led some people to say, well, maybe they shouldn't be kind of invited to participate anymore. But I suppose the highlight of the tournament for you has been seeing Laura do some of their commentary work.
Well, yeah. I mean, the highlight has been seeing my wife on there, yeah, of course. But, however, I mean, I've read the things on social media, and personally, you take that with a pinch of salt. I mean, the BDO players are fantastic players. They are fantastic. I know the results haven't gone their way. It's so easy to look at averages and look at this, look at that, you know. But, you know, they can play darts. You know, things haven't gone their way, but they're not bad dart players overnight or anything like that. It's, you know, it's just a way, you know, it hasn't happened from this week. But, you know, they're playing full-time professionals or a lot of full-time professionals where the BDO aren't, obviously, and I'm not trying to make excuses for them, but they're fantastic players. They all are. They're all 32 people that's in that Grand Slam are fantastic.
No, I do agree, and I think it's just a case of, you know, on the night, sometimes it doesn't go for you. I mean, you'll know that as well. Sometimes tournaments, you turn up and just first game, you're not at the races. Other times, you're playing really well and you kind of really progress to the latter stages.
You know, of course, I mean, the greatest player in the world, Phil Taylor, he's lost first round competitions, so everyone can have a bad day if he can. So, simple as that.
Something I did want to ask. A lot of people will maybe know your name from the World Youth Masters win, obviously, but also 2005 when you lost to Dieter Hedman, and it was the first time a man had lost to a woman on TV.
Yeah.
And that was before the age of social media and obviously people getting on your back and stuff. But, I mean, how did you feel after that match?
Well, no, I mean, I was obviously gutted. I mean, the best thing was it was my birthday that day, and we had a good drink up, but that probably didn't help in the game. But, all I remember about that, well, I remember a lot about that day, but I played Jason Clark in the first round on the main stage, and I beat him by the odd lead. I think we were only playing best of seven, I believe. And I beat Jason 4-3, which I was more than happy with. And then, yeah, of course, I played Dieter, and I went 3-0 up, and I lost 4-3. But, yeah, it was one of them. It was one of the things. But, one of the good things was, I have been told that it wasn't actually the first time a man has saw a lady on the telly. I think someone said that Leanne Maddock beat a man first. So, I think I might have lost my crown, but who knows, I haven't really checked up on that, but someone told me a couple of weeks ago.
But I mean, obviously since then, the ladies game has grown sort of exponentially, and now we're obviously seeing Lisa and Makuru playing in the Grand Slam, and I mean, Dieter's still winning titles, sort of 4, 5, 6 titles a year.
Yeah, oh, fantastic. I mean, what Dieter's done is phenomenal. I mean, the longevity of it all, you know. I mean, I think Dieter started, well, I don't know when she started, but I think she started becoming a name in the late 80s, I think. So, all that time, you know, we're talking 30 years later, and she's still playing at that level, winning these tournaments. I'd love to see her win a world title. I really would. And then you've got Lisa, who I think has taken lady starts to another level. You obviously got Trina, who's won 10 world titles, which took the ladies to another level at the time. And you've got now Makuru, I think it's fantastic. I, you know, I wouldn't mind being a pound behind her. I think she's earning a fortune out in Japan and everywhere in the soft tip and the game over there. And, you know, I wouldn't mind being a pound behind her because I think she's cleaning up nicely.
I mean, she certainly is. She's a household name over there. And I mean, the way she sort of come over to Europe and played events and sort of just taken it in her stride and really impressed every time she's been in the big stages.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, she takes it in her stride. But I think she's so used to it over there. I think she's playing in tournaments over there, the soft tip tournaments and some of the tournaments. I've only witnessed it online, but they're playing in, you know, in front of thousands of people, thousands of entries. That's the difference. Not just an audience. It's the actual entries are in the thousands, and they stay on watch, and it's incredible. It's incredible, and obviously she's winning her fair slice of the ladies. I think she won. Well, according to Tony Mai, who I get my information off, something like 26 tournaments in a row or something, about £3,000 a pop, so a minimum £3,000 a pop. So, she's having a lovely living out of it.
Well, I mean, I'm sure all players would be like to making that kind of money and obviously playing in front of that many people. Talking about kind of your future and what your future in darts holds, obviously you have done a majority of the tour last season, and I know you were in Ireland over the weekend. What's the plan for you moving forward?
Well, no, I didn't actually go to Ireland. I did enter Ireland, but I didn't actually go, to be honest. But no, for myself, I'm not sure where the future lies. I'm one of them people that's a bit disheartened with the BDO at the moment. Not for my own personal gain or personal satisfaction, but I just think it could be so much better to... Not, I'm not saying run or organise, but it could be improved by just doing the basics right. You know, except we're an amateur, you know, we are an amateur organisation. We are virtually run by volunteers. But if we get the basics right, you know, you've got a good foundation to build on. But at the moment, the basics are so wrong. And it is so disheartening. But, again, that's my personal view.
I mean, what would you say that those basics are?
Oh, I mean, Christ. I mean, have you got the next hour free? Christ, I wouldn't even know where to start. But it is. I mean, it's there's so much positives that the BDO has got. You know, with all the grassroots and everything. I don't know. I do know, but I just don't think they can carry on the way they're going with the prize, you know, the prize money and all that. Without sponsorship, they're just eating into the BDO funds, which is criminal, really. But whether they're just doing that to save face, you know, which is very similar to the old board, I just think everything needs a big shake-up. Everything needs a massive shake-up.
Obviously, there was the talk at the World Masters of Dez stepping down, and then the talk of Dez not stepping down, and I think at the moment, it's sort of... There needs to be some degree of clarity on what the plan is beyond the World Championships, really.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see a plan or anything. You know, if I was walking to the bank and say, you know, I've got this business idea, I have to present a business plan, and it would have been nice... You know, to see when Dez took over the BDO for him to lay out a business plan. Now, I'm not saying that Dez is the wrong person, because I do believe that he's got a lot right. You know, I think the venue that he got for the BDO World Trophy up at Blackburn, I think that's a fantastic step forward. That's a great venue. Fantastic venue, but it's all about getting bums on seats, and I know it's easier said than done to get the bums on the seats, but something's got to change, because it's all out of sync at the moment. Nothing's quite right, you know, whether the price, you know, the ticket price and structure. I don't think everything is wrong at the moment. I think, without trying to sound rude to the players, you know, it's a bit like trying to sell a Premiership football ticket or a Division 2 football ticket, you know, and trying to sell them for the same price, or even the Premiership ticket's a price. I mean, that's what it seems like in the BDO. I want to see the O2 succeed, but the World Masters was a great indication, and I think they sold about 90 tickets. So it's not working. What they're doing is not working. I still believe it or not, I think Dez is the best person to do it. But I think he's got to reach out and get some more help. Get some, you know, commercial, you know, people who deal with this kind of stuff on boards. But that's the thing.
Yeah, I think certainly there's certainly room for improvement in terms of branding and promotion and stuff. But that certainly, as you say, a topic for another time, and a topic when we both got a little bit, maybe a couple of hours free to thrash that one out.
No, I could talk all day on what's kind of not wrong with the BDO. I wouldn't say what's wrong. I would like to use a word what could be improved.
Mm.
you know, things at tournament. I mean, no tournament has really got any. I don't know. There's no set out rule. You know, one week you'll be playing best of seven. One week you're playing best of five. One week you're playing this. One week you're playing that. One week it's €20, whatever. One week it's 15. And then €15 entry pays more money than the €20 entry. And it's like, this is all. There's nothing in uniform. There's no. There's no real. Nothing set out. Everything's. Especially like the tournaments we play in, you know, we travel just to. I don't know. If I just mention a name, like Scotland, for instance, they take X amount. And I know what that, you know, you pay all your money to enter, they take more money than they pay out, obviously, which is correct. But I believe they should make a profit. But everything goes towards the Scottish team. Whereas, you know, you've got the players doing the tour, there's nothing for the players. That's what I'm saying. It would be so much better if the players could almost do what the PDC done a few years ago, and just start off, you know, a semi-professional tour, not professional tour, a semi-professional tour, and do 10 tournaments, you know, 10 weekends a year, instead of having to travel everywhere, here, there, and everywhere, and, you know, it'd just make so much more sense.
One final question. I've taken up a lot of your time, and I'm very grateful. But one final question: will you be going back to Q School in January and giving that another crack?
No. I'm a player that doesn't practice, or I don't do anything. I play twice a week, and I play weekends if I'm going away. I believe if you're going to go to Q School, you're playing. You've got to. I mean, I'm not talking about Q School. I mean, if you get through to the next round of Q School, if you get your tour card, you've got to give it everything. You've got to give it everything, because you'll get totally found out if you don't. And for me, darts is just a hobby, really. And it's not for me. It's not for me because, I couldn't take it that far.
Fair enough, mate. But thank you so much for your time. And
no worries.
However you kind of choose to move forward, I'm very grateful for your time.
Yeah, no, thank you.